which are more bizarre.
The Hanaviim Haloilam Yichyu. The Nevi'im live forever. And just to recap what we spent the whole Friday on, what is the statement according to the Mitzvah David? We learned a little bit of the Radak also, but the Mitzvah David says, his interpretation was that where are your ancestors? They're dead. Not only have they died, they were tortured to death. And don't answer me back. What do you mean? But the prophets are also dead. It's true. The prophets have died because nobody lives forever, but they did not die a torture death. And that's what the next pasuk goes on to explain. Ach devarai v'chukai asher tzivisi es avodai hanevi'im, halahisigu avoseichem. All of the words of gloom and doom that would come to the ancestors indeed overtook them. Halo, is it not true? Hisigu avoseichem, vayashuvu vayomu. And when your ancestors died, they confessed. They said, "Kasher zomam Hashem tzivakos lasois lanu," just as Hashem planned. The word zomam means to plan, to do to us, in punishment for kid rochenu uchema aloleinu, in punishment for our evil deeds and our evil ways. Indeed, Cain osa. And the word itanu here is to be emphasized. He did to us, not to the prophets. We suffered a miserable death, but the prophets did not. So this was indeed a confession which is a silver lining, which is a good thing. And number two, it is a statement that just because everyone dies, there's a big difference in how you die. Some people die a miserable, tortured death, and some people die a pleasant death. And we had a deeper understanding of this idea last week, as we explained it, that the last 2,000 years of history have shown us that you can be the greatest tzaddik. Doesn't mean you can have a wonderful death. Adarabba, no one escapes illness. No one escapes suffering, which we, unfortunately is a way of the world. And the only difference we're able to explain hashkafically, which is not very satisfying, is that when a wicked person dies and he suffers, the suffering is payday. It's just pay up for the evil deeds. But when a tzaddik leaves this world and suffers, he didn't deserve to suffer. He didn't do anything to suffer. And the suffering thus is viewed as either a kid Hashem Shemayim, if he dies at the hand of a non-Jew, or whatever, those type of situations, or even if he dies a natural, if he dies not, it's Yisurim, which bring him into the next world, which give him a special portion of the next world, which these type of things are dangerous things to even approach, because we don't understand what these things mean, and that's why we tried to stay away from this last week. Okay, that's what we learned last week, that we went through the Radak. Okay, we went through the Radak, and we went through the Mitzudois, and now we're going to do the Malbum. Okay, let's do the Malbum, and then we'll do some Amori Chazal. Okay, so let me put up on the screen. Shouldn't take long to put on the screen a picture of the Malbum. Hopefully you all have one by now. If you pass by the shul, please come take a sefer so we can, it'll be much, much easier to follow along. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Okay, let's okay, Pasuk Beis. Oh no, I put on the wrong pasuk. Look at that. I took the wrong picture. I need another moment. Getting stuck here. Okay, let's continue. Up to Beis, Pasuk Beis. We're up to Pasuk Beis in the Malbim. Kotzaf. Kotzaf, Toichen Devod of Amalohem. Ki Bebayis Rishon Koidem Shechri Vesabayis Viglas Yisrael Hoya Shlech Es in the Via of Hashem Vishalayach. Before Hashem brought the Churban, before the Churban occurred, Hashem would send his prophets Hashkem Vishalayach, continuously, early in the morning. And it just means it's an expression continuously. The Hayu Mashirim Umaychichim Umayadim Es Haro Hasid Laman Yashuv Vishuva. And he would warn them, he would rebuke them, he would designate evil that would come upon them so that they should listen and do Teshuva. Velo Yavoy Alehem Es Haro, and the evil should not come upon them. Hashem would initiate. This is the point that the Malm is coming to make. He's coming to explain why here it says that Hashem says, you have to go first, not me. Hashem in the past initiated. Hashem hoya haposech badavar lehashivam ilav veheim loy rotsu. The Atah now. The anger is still present. And you're still in exile. The Gula of Koresh, that's why we say a Gula Shalema Leman Shemech. And the Nusach HaTfilah, there are three places in the Nusach HaTfilah where we ask for a davar shalem, refuah shalema, a geula shalema, and a teshuva shalema. Three different locations. Now we all clearly understand. It's very easy to understand all of them. Refuah shalema. We all know the dread of a person gets sick, and we probably never understood this better than in our generation, where a person can be cured, or it would appear that a person can be cured from an illness only, achmona litzlan, for the illness to come back. So when we mispal that a person should have a refuah, it's not just a refuah, it's a refuah shalema. I mean, people would think, you know, let's explain. People would ordinarily, a person could think that, like, you know, a person, his performance, he gets better. He has a cold, and he gets better, but he only comes back 90%. He doesn't get back 100%. The person is not, you know, he's out of commission. He has a sprained arm. You have a baseball player, right? He can't. He pulls a muscle. So he has to go for surgery, this, that, and he comes back, not the same, only 90%. So you mispalel a refuah shalema. That's much too simplistic. Because unfortunately, with a lot of tsar, we know that you can have a situation where a person, he comes back 100%. But the illness, the disease, is still lingering. It's still there in the blood. It's still there somewhere. And Rachmana Litzlan, 5 years later, he'll have to deal with it again. So even though in the meantime, in the interim, he's 100%, we all know we need a refuah shalema. Teshuvah, same thing. Teshuvah is a very scary thing. Teshuvah, person does teshuvah, as he really wiped out the sin. The person is an addict. Person's an alcoholic. And he goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. And he goes for rehabilitation. He goes for therapy. And he's clean. He's clean for 5 years. And then all it takes is one drink. One drink can set him back 5 years. Another person takes one drink, it's nothing. But the person is healed. He got a certificate. He's healed. He's cured. Yeah, he's cured, but it's a very delicate, deep down inside, it's not shalem. And that's really when it comes to doing teshuva, a person is an addict in regard to doing certain averos, whether they can be averos kalos or averos chamuros, and he does teshuva, you know, even though now he's behaving himself and he did teshuva and he's not talking during davening, or he's not looking at things he should not be looking at. He's clean. But unfortunately, it can just take just a little bit to set him all the way back. Person needs to do teshuva to such a degree, it's like he never had this thing. This thing, it doesn't exist by him. And the last thing is the geula shalema. And that's exactly what the Malbim writes here clearly, is that Koresh told the Klal Yisrael, Go build the Beis HaMikdash. Here are the Kalim. Here's a donation. Go. It was not complete. It was not a Geula Shalema. That's what the Malm over here writes. V'agolis Adayin Kayim. According to many commentators, the entire era of the Bayis Sheni was not really Geula. The whole era of the Bayis Sheni was a struggle. There was almost no autonomy during the entire period. The only time there was autonomy was during the Chashmonoyim, but even that didn't last very long. The first number of years, the first, what do we have to say, 46 years, we were under the authority of the Persians. And the next 180 years, we were under the authority of the Syrian Greeks. And then there was a short period of the Chashmonoyim, which wasn't really complete, because who are we supposed to have authority? Who's our authority? Shevet Yehuda. And who is in control? Shevet Levi. We were in Golos by our own people. We were not even being led by the people who are supposed to lead us. That's also a Golos. If the Pasuk says, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda, U'mechoykik Mi Bein Raglav, and the people who are leading us in the best tekuf of the Bayis Sheni were the Chashmonoyim, a family of Kohanim who refused to give up their role as leaders to the people who really should have been leaders. That's also a corruption. It's also an element of Golos. And that did not even last very long anyway. That led into the era of the Romans. And they were there for the end, the last 100 years, and they brought about the Chorban, 102 years, it says, and they brought about the Chorban. Going back further in the Malbim, Kigulas Koshloisa Gulashlima Avalzel Marketzef Hashem Alavasechem Kotzef. Ritzon Elomar Sheadayin Haketzef. I'm reading over here Sheadayin Ketzef. In the last, it's the middle line, the last line before Pasuk Gimel. Sheadayin Haketzef B'Mitziuos Kiloishav Hashem Meicher. And Apay Hashem did not go back from his anger. So therefore, he's just alluding to the repetition of the word ketzef. Pasuk Gimel.
One, of course, is a verb and the other is a noun.
One is a verb. Kotzef Hashem, that's the verb. Al Ava Sechem Kotzef is the noun. Correct. So over here, the word is saying a very good point. The word over here is being used both as a verb, as a noun, to add to the sophistication of the Hebrew language. Hebrew language, you take words, and you can words. Sometimes words are turned into verbs. What's the real word? I don't even know sometimes. And exactly, that's what the pasuk here is doing as well. Pasuk Gimel, V'yamart aleyem, l'chein tam aleyem, seydem v'sodiyem, shemi'atu lo yishlach oy nevim, masidim, l'ashiva me'ilav. No longer will Hashem send prophets to you. No, ki acharei ha'nevim ha'acharonim nifsuk ha'nevua, mi'atu ritzichim heim, l'shtadil, mi'atzom, l'shu b'shu, v'shal ze amar shuvu elai, v'al yidei kach, oshu v'lechem will return to you, she'atem to you, ha'maschilim, v'ha'misarim, v'atzchem, l'shu, you're the ones that are going to initiate the process. Now, I don't know if you realize what I just said over here, what we just said. He said over here something that you can probably get a PhD just for this line alone. The line alone we said is worthy of a doctorate. Just the line we said alone. This is one simple line. The depth of this line is beyond belief. What he's saying is the difference between the era of having Nevi'im and the era of not having Nevi'im is the difference between who takes the initiative. When Hashem gave us prophets, we were living in a time where Hashem takes the initiative. Hashem extends his hand. Please do teshuva. I will help you. I will support you. I will give you gifts. I will be with you. When there are no prophets, we're living in an era where Hashem says, I'm done with you. If you want help, you knock on my door. You take the initiative. The purpose of a Navi, when there are Nevi'im, this is an era of Hashem reaching out. Hashem extending his hand. Let me be the one who initiates the peace. And with the end of prophecy, the reason why the prophets came to an end is because now Hashem says, I'm no longer initiating. You want help? You are the ones that are going to have to knock on my door. Now that's amazing. That's an amazing insight. I never heard this before, never saw this before. To super simplify why today we do not have prophets, why in ancient times they did have prophets, it's an incredible simplification of Niskadnu Hadoros, the difference, and it's not an oversimplification. It's he's hitting the nail on the head with precision that is mind-boggling. How he takes this pasuk, who would ever say such a chiddush? Who would ever come up with such a chiddush? And it's just so true. It's so obvious. The most incredible things are usually the most obvious. They're staring right in front of you in the face, out in plain sight. When they are prophets, it's an era of Hashem taking the initiative. By removing from us prophecy, Hashem is saying, I will no longer take the initiative. Ko amar Hashem tzevakos, shuva no midarkechem. We'll go back before. The pasuk Gimel, shuva elai ne'um Hashem tzevakos, and then the yoshuva aleichem. According to the Malbim, Hashem is making an announcement. The era of prophecy is over. It's over. And what's the nafgamina? What is the practical ramification? Now you are going to have to start, not me. Okay, this is kedai today to come just to learn this. This chiddush is really, really essential. Pasuk Dalit. Al tiyukavasechem asher korelechem anivim harishon v'hizkiru isam al roya darkom. Don't be like your ancestors, that the earlier prophets, they call to them and beg them to do tshuva lo shamu l'divrei anivim. Look what happened to the earlier prophets. They are gone. I got to turn to the next page, and we have to put on the screen. I'm going to put on the screen the next image.
So the days of holding back and lots of warnings, those days are over.
Yes.
And then what follows?
What follows is you have to...
You have to take your punishment.
Well, not you. You have to take the initiative to...
Or it has to come from within you.
Right. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk in the Malbim. We are in the Malbim pasuk Hey. It's on the screen. Avosechem ayeihem. Where are your ancestors? Haloi mesu tamu min balohois vitzorais. They have perished from terror and from difficulties. The Hanaviim and the prophets. Sheshalachti oz haloilam yichyu. Will they live forever? Ki nevim chadashim loy eshlach oina. He here is learning a new interpretation. Okay, we're not going to go over this before. Now he's saying an entirely different idea. When it says here ha nevim haloilam yichyu, he's not referring to the prophets that lived in the time, in the lifetime of your ancestors. They're dead. And that's pashut. No one lived. That's too simple. The Malam basically is challenging the Radak and the Mitzudos by saying your interpretation is it's just too simple. Of course they're dead. No one has any expectation a Navi will live forever. That's pashut. I mean, so even to say that as a rhetorical question, that's part of the conversation, is ridiculous according to the Radak. He's challenging, according to the Malbim, he's challenging what the Radak and the Mitzudos David said. But instead he says now new Mahalach, and he says that new prophets, the Hanaviim Haloilam Yichyu, means, do you think I'm going to send prophets in this generation and in the next generation? We're done. There will no longer be prophets. In other words, if you did not understand the message, what I said to you back in Pasuk Gimel, that Shuva Elai Num Hashem Tzevokos V'yashuv Aleichem, that we're now entering into a new era where you must take the first step. If you don't get the message, well, let me spell it out for you. Read my lips. No taxes. Read my lips. What does it say? It says the Vanavim La Ilam Yichyu. There are no longer be new prophets are not going to exist. Now the word Yichyu means will they live? But it's an expression that we're over. We're done with this.
So read my lips. No more prophecy.
Exactly. But Hashem was true. Wasn't like Bush. Bush was the one who famously said, "Read my lips. No more taxes." And he lied. He lied, and he taxed the people, and that's one of the reasons why he lost the election, second term, Bush Senior. But that became a famous expression: "Read my lips, no new taxes." And that was a lie. But here, Hashem is saying, "Read my lips; there will no longer be prophets," and this is true. Hashem doesn't lie. Now he's saying another monumental idea, another idea that you can get a PhD just for this line alone. And he's saying is there's no need for prophecy anymore. You know why? Because all the prophecies already came true. In other words, until now, disaster didn't happen. It says in the Torah that if you're not going to behave, you're going to be punished. So I had to bring prophets to elaborate. And guess what? Everything that they said came true. So it's no longer necessary to have prophets to tell you what's going to happen. We've done that already. Read history, study history. The prophets warned, if you're not going to behave, this will happen. You did not behave, and it happened. So you see that Hashem is the boss. So what are we wasting our time? on sending you new prophets to send you new warnings. You know what's going to happen to you. It already happened. I've proven myself. We've been there, done that. It's been proven. It's not necessary. So he's presenting, the Malam over here in a few lines, presenting two massive ideas as to why today, in the year 2020, in l'chashbonam, secular counting, we do not have prophets. Number one, we're living in an era where we must take the first step. Number two, what do you need a prophet to tell you that if you misbehave, you're going to suffer? We've done that already. I warned your ancestors that if they misbehave, they're going to suffer. They misbehaved and they suffered. So you got to be a fool to think that you're going to be different. It's been proven. We've been there, done that. The difference between a wise man and a foolish man is only that a wise man does not repeat his mistakes, and the foolish man repeats his mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yecheta. But the question is, will you repeat your mistakes? And you're a fool if you're going to repeat your mistakes. You've seen what I'm capable of doing. Next, pasuk vav, ach divarai v'chukai haloi yisigu avoy sechem. He's repeating the same idea. V'ein tzarecho l'navi mi'ayde ala esa asalavoy alavona sechem. It's an incredible idea. This idea should be, when you want to write up about all the rules of prophecy, so there are svarim about prophecy, but there are svarim that are devoted to the topic of prophecy. If you were to write a new sefer, this would be a very, very important thing to write. These malbums are really essential in defining what it's all about. And here he's elaborating. Shekvar bo atzaros v'hinam oid b'mitzius. And you're still suffering. You have not yet been revealed. You already appreciate, you already can see the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he's capable of doing. Aleph. You see that Hashem has the power to punish. Your own ancestors confessed, and they said, "Shekasher zamam Hashem lasa islanu asa itanu beis b'masha haya ha'inish mida keneged mida luma sachet." The second critical element is mida keneged mida, which we spent so much time discussing. Shalze amar kidrachenu uchim ma'alaleinu asa itanu. There are two critical elements. Hashem warns and Hashem punishes. Number two, when Hashem punishes, he punishes mida kineged mida. This has been revealed to the entire world, and it's not necessary to repeat the process by sending new prophets and issuing new warnings. Okay, that concludes the Malbum. The Malbum is complete. Now, we're going to take a look at, I want to look at the Ibn Ezra. We almost never do an Ibn Ezra, because...
By the way, I would like to add something, yes, to what the Mavim said. We actually don't need Nevuah. We don't need, that's what he wants to emphasize. Because if you want Nevuah, just read Sefer Yeshayahu, read Sefer Yirmiyahu, and you know the whole thing. Why do I have to send you another person? You have the books. They wrote it down. And you know why am I in the Galut now? Because just read over there.
You're saying another idea. You're saying an entirely different idea. You're saying is that whatever we need to know for today is already in the Navi. Because the Navi did not speak in one dimension. The Nevi'im, in their words, they spoke to every single generation. So the message, the warning was already given to you. Right? So he's saying an entirely different idea. You realize that what he's saying is a beautiful idea, and it is absolutely true, 100% true. But I'm not sure that's what the Malam is saying. I don't know if the Malam is saying that. Right? You're saying your own idea, which is certainly true, which is an obvious truth. Right? It's a very beautiful idea. So we're taking out of this now three different ideas, together with Rav Kalman, is saying as to why today, And there are many reasons, but amongst the multitude number of reasons why there are no prophets, we've just studied three. Number one, because we're living in an era where Hashem says you must take the initiative. Number two, there's no purpose. The purpose of the prophecy is to prove that the words of the Torah are true, that if you misbehave, you will be punished. We've done that already. I've already proved to you that it was true. I elaborated with the prophets, giving you very specific details, warnings, and you misbehaved and you suffered. So that already is a model to know that if you do not follow what it says in the Torah, you will suffer greatly. And if Kalman is saying the third idea, is that what we need to know for our generation is right in front of our eyes. It's as if there is a living Navi standing in front of us and speaking to us. Because the words that were said by Yeshayah, Yechezkel, all of the Nevi'im, they were speaking the koyach, the beauty, the depth, the dimensions in this word of our Devar Hashem is for every generation. Every generation can look in the words of the Navi, can see the Navi speaking to them, can see the predictions, can see the situation, and can delve into it, and can see the message, and can learn what the solution is. Three very different approaches as to why we do not today have or need prophets. Now let's go to, I want to do an Ibn Ezra. I don't normally do Ibn Ezra. The reason why I don't do it is because I find it to be extremely technical. And for the purpose of this share, it's not going to be to our advantage. At least because I because of my ignorance. It's all, so we tend to shy away. But this one I think is very important. So let's see what it says in the Ibn Ezra. I'm going to put it on the screen. Here it is. Okay. Okay, it's a little bit bent. It's not, you can't read every single word there, so just try to follow along with me the best that I can. Ma'alois ha'nevua rabim. Aleph, the beginning is the Hakdama. Introduction to Sefer Zechariah. Okay, new thing today. Ibn Ezra, we never did this. Ma'alois ha'nevua rabim. There are many advantages to prophecy. The enderech l'sapram. Ki koyach ha'neshama Haha gunois hamekablois koyach ruach hakodesh lihinovei einenu al derech achas. See, this is a very sophisticated language, which I'm not accustomed to. He says here the power of the neshama haha gunois. You have to have a neshama that's hagun, that is proper. Not everyone has a neshama that's hagun. Certainly, a non-Jew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is not in a position to receive prophecy, with the exception of Bilam. Hashem gave a special gift. But even amongst Klal Yisrael, just because every neshama is holy, Elokai, neshama, shenasata bi, tehoirahi, every single member of Klal Yisrael says those words. Bili yoytze min haklal. The neshama shenasata bi, tehoirahi, yet...
Well, wait a minute. It's only the Hagunos. It's only the qualified neshamos that can
absorb Ruach HaKodesh. Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, exactly what I'm saying. It's just because every neshama is pure, still there are different levels. Even though every single member of Klal Yisrael says in the morning, Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tehoirahi, not every neshama is in a position to receive kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh, and prophecy. He writes here some powerful stuff, the Ibn Ezra. Ki koyach ha-neshamos ha-ha-gunos. The power of those neshamos that are conditioned. Okay? Ha-gunos. Ha-gun means proper, but in this context it means
qualified,
conditioned. A person can work on it. We know that Elisha had a yeshiva for prophets. He was probably the first yeshiva. Where do we find a yeshiva in the Torah? Everyone Shein attributes, Be'er. Oh, very good. Shein Be'er, you say, Rechol is saying very good, but Shein Be'er was before Modern Torah. Before Modern Torah. Let's talk about after Modern Torah. What do they learn in Shein Be'er? It's a great topic of discussion, a great article about yeshivas before Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, he gets the credit of the first one to create a modern day yeshiva. All of the yeshivas we have today in this world, to a degree, are patterned after his model. Okay, a place where boys you come, they feed you, they provide everything for you, and they teach you the Rebbeim. To a very large degree, if you study the yeshiva of Avolozhin, Chaim Avolozhin, all of the yeshivas today, it was a novelty. It was a novelty what he did for Jewish education. But he's not really the first, because if you study Tanakh, you study the Talmud, there's also, you find something called yeshivas. Question is, what exactly were those yeshivas, how did they operate? Was it more like a Yarkei Kala, like an inspirational speech? You come into the Beis Medrash, was there a curriculum? When it says people that went to the Beis Medrash, there was a curriculum, there was a Rebbe, how did it work? It's not at all clear. As Reb Chol just mentioned, what about Yaakov Avinu? He went to go learn 14 years in the Beis Midrash Shel Shem Ve'Ever. What does that mean? What do all these things mean? We do know one thing, that Elisha had a yeshiva. Elisha had a yeshiva for prophet. Elisha. He had a yeshiva. A yeshiva to teach and train prophets. Nevi'im. The B'nei HaNevi'im. What did they study? What was their curriculum? What did they learn? Was it a Musa yeshiva? You had to condition your neshama, you had to fast, you had to daven. What did you study? I have no idea. These are all very big mysteries. But one thing we do know is that in order to receive prophecy, it doesn't just happen. The neshama has to be hagun. And for neshama to be hagun, it requires conditioning, which means musar, fasting, davening, denying yourself from the pleasures of this world, not coming in contact with spiritual contamination, not going to the cemetery, not sleeping at night in the cemetery. Well, these are things that are totally beyond our understanding, but at least to appreciate these principles, that's at least what we can do. Ki koyach haneshamos hagunos hamekablos, which receive the koyach, the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. Now notice how the Ibn Ezra is mixing terms. He's mixing the term Ruach HaKodesh with the term prophecy, which appears to be a very big violation of what we need to differentiate between kisuvim and nevi'im. Everyone asks the obvious question, what's the difference between the books that are found in kisuvim and the books that are part of the nevi'im? Why are there separate books? Are you going to tell me because they lived at a later point in time? That's false. Tehillim is part of kisuvim, and David lived long before Yeshaya. Mishle is part of Kisuvim, and Shlomo HaMelech lived long before Yecheskel. So how do we differentiate between... So the most popular answer is Kisuvim are written with Ruach HaKodesh, whereas Nevi'im were composed with Nevuah. Now, I have no understanding the difference between the two, and either does anyone that in this generation, I'm very proud to say that, and if you know someone that can tell you the difference, I would stay far away from anyone that claims to know the difference between the two, but these are reserved terms that we use to differentiate between Nevi'im and Kisuvim. Nevuah versus Ruach HaKodesh. But the Ibn Ezra has just crossed the red line. The Ibn Ezra said here, the neshamos hagunos hamekablos koyach, he's talking about the milos hanavuah, hamekablos koyach ruach hakodesh lihinavei. Okay, so he's just confused us by saying there's no difference between ruach hakodesh and prophecy. Al derech, they're not the same, al derech achas.
All he said that Ruach HaKodesh precedes Nevuah. HaMekablot Ruach
HaKodesh, okay. Ruach HaKodesh, whatever that means. You need it first.
Adam tzarich liyot perfect. He has to have Ruach Kodesh.
Okay, but fine.
It's a
prerequisite. are prerequisite for Nevuah. All right, whatever, whatever. These are, just want to make the terms, because these are very important terms. The term Ruach HaKodesh is a term. Nevuah is a term. According to many commentators, they don't mix. They don't mix. You don't put the two together in the same sentence. Here, the Ibn Ezra has just done that. Let's go further. Uviyois, and he said over here that not every neshama is the same. It's not one size fits all. Every neshama has a different darga of prophecy. Uviyois, hakavoid im Yisrael, b'term shagalu, the fact that the honor, now I don't know what he means by that, the honor was with the Jewish people before they went into exile. Ein tsoirech lefaresh hanavua. It's not necessary to explain prophecy. In other words, when a Navi says prophecy, there's no commentary, there's no Rashi. There's no commentary. The Navi, he's coming to explain what's going to make Zechariah unique compared to the other prophets. And what he's going to say is that the unique feature is that Zechariah is going to explain, give you an interpretation of the prophecy. Yeshaya never explained the prophecy. Yeshaya gets up and he says it. That's it. And it's self-understood. Everyone understands what he's saying. Why? Because Yeshaya was living in a tekufa where he called, these are all abstract terms, when the Jewish people had kavod. What does that mean? I don't know. It means the Shechina is resting amongst them. And when a prophet gives over the words of prophecy, everyone understands what is being said. But now, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are speaking to people who are in Golos. They're in Bavel. There is no kavod for Klal Yisrael, which is just a term which I don't know what it means, which I'm just translating loosely. They do not have the Shechina resting within them. Therefore, when the Navi gives over words of prophecy, it's Greek. It's a code. What exactly does that mean? You said some very cryptic words. What does it mean? Explain to us. Maybe there are some Talmidei Chachamim who understand better, and there are people who understand less. But everyone has something that they don't understand. And that is why it becomes necessary for these three Nevi'im, specifically Zechariah, to elaborate. After the prophecy has been concluded, he says, Chazora Samaimer. After lunch, you come into this classroom, and we have a Chazora Shir. You know, all of the yeshivas, they have the Rosh Shiva, he gives the Shir. And then there's the Choyzer. There's someone, the boys come later on, and there's a person that reviews. He repeats the shir. He elaborates, he repeats the shir. And you know, it depends what yeshiva you go to. Some, by some rebbes, they do this. By some rebbes, they have a rebbe, gives a whatever he gives. And then there's a chazara. So here, he's saying, V'ein tzarech lefarish hanavua, kumo hinei bein noila lebeis David, Yoshiyahu shemo, v'hoya hadavar misper be'atzmai. I don't know why he's giving this example. Okay, he's giving an example. There was a Bein El Lebeis David, Yoshio Shemo. V'hoya Dov Mizbar Mei Atzma. He was self-understood. Whatever he had to say, he said. Everyone knew what he said. But, V'yachar HaGolos, Hein Marois. There are Marois. There are visions. U'tzrichois Perush. And they need explanation. This Ibn Ezra is awesome. It is such a fine, this Ibn Ezra. He's explaining over here what's going on, the difference in the prophecy of what took place. Not only the prophecy, even Daniel, which is not a prophet, there's a Chocham, there's a Mare, whatever it is. And the Marois, the visions, need further elaboration, elucidation, because they're in Golos, and it's not self-understood, the words of the prophet. Utsrichos Perush, Kimaros Daniel, if not for the fact that he's saying the Malach was the one that was giving over the message, even Daniel would not understand what's being said. The af ki acharim, and it goes without saying, others, if Daniel didn't understand what's going on, certainly no one else had a chance and understanding. V'kocha maros Zechariah. This is my introduction to Sefer Zechariah. Zechariah is not like Yeshaya. It's not like Yechezkel. Well, it's not like the other ones because their prophecies were self-understood. They did not need to elaborate. Zechariah did. Zechariah is going to say the Nevuah, and then he's going to explain it. And that puts the Sefer into an entirely different league. The Afki Achaidim, the Kochamar Zechariah, the Asher Perash Hamaluch, Hadoi Verbi, like we're going to learn later on, the Maras Halaila, Haim Yuduis. Later on in Pasik Tess, Yigimel, the Maras Halaila, Haim Yuduis, Asher Loi Perash Mina Hain, Asher Loi Perash Hain Stumois, Vinelomois Meene Hamaskilim. He further elaborates to Ibn Ezra that some of the prophecies that Zechariah will express, he will explain. But the ones that he chooses not to explain, forget it. We don't have a chance. We'll never know what it means. Because there's no Gola Kavod in Israel. V'ilu hayinu moitzim sefer kadmoin, shoyu mesaper mashis chadesh bayamim ohem mimilchamois. What happened? Hayinu mimashishim ki'ivrim loymar. We would grope like blind people in the darkness to say, Ulai bavur zeh hoysa ha-nevuah. Maybe we can understand what the nevuah is. In other words, over here, Ibn Ezra over here is saying is that when it comes to the prophecies that are concealed, maybe if we had a history book giving us more information as to what exactly was taking place in the world at this time, we would have a little chance. Like an Iver Boafel, a blind man walking in the middle of the night, maybe we'll have a little chance to try to figure out what possibly the Nevuah was referring to. But now that we don't even have that, we don't even have an accurate description, a record of what happened during this era, we don't stand a chance in knowing what some of the prophecies are talking about. In other words, it's two strikes against us. Number one, the fact that we are in Golos and there is no kavod for Klal Yisrael, that itself makes it impossible for us to understand the Nevuah. Number two, well, at least maybe the Navi will explain it. Well, he did. He explained many prophecies, but many of them he did not explain. And if he did not explain, we don't have a chance to begin with. And maybe our only small chance would be if we had some records of what was happening in the world with Klal Yisrael during this era. Maybe we can put the pieces together to get an idea of what's going on. But we don't even have that. So we're absolutely hopeless. We shouldn't have any even fathom. We'll be able to understand their pshat on a simple understanding of what was happening during this time. Let's go further. The Ata now, Ein Lanu Al Malishan, Ve'isi Sifrei Chachamim Shayu Bitzarfas, France. I saw some books in France. Sheperishu Hamaru Shayu Zeshara Zecharia Acha Achoy Ranis, Al Dovar Shekvar Ovar Bimei Zeh Hanavi, Kimoho Eifa. Okay, we didn't get to this program yet. Ki Balvura Golo Yehuda El Bavel, Ushna Makla says Perakud Aleph, Perishu Shehem Yisrael Yehuda, Vyakos of Omar Re'eya Sena Haharega. All right, so he's saying over that he did find some books. He did find some books in France that attempted to make sense out of some of the prophecies in reference to what during the Khorban Bayis Rishon, the past. Whatever that means. We have to see what he means later on. Whatever. No, but basically the thing over here is that there are Sephardim that have made an attempt to explain the deeper meaning of these prophecies. And the Nevuah Le'osid Hoysa Vimei HaNavi, the last Nevuah of the Osid of Mashiach was Bimei HaNavi, V'ata Ochel Lef. I'm not sure what he means by that line. I told you there's a lot of his language is beyond me. But I thought it was worthy to read this because he, over here, he gives us a really an incredible insight into the difference between the earlier prophets and the later prophets. The prophets that lived when there was a Beis Hamikdash and Eretz Yisrael, their prophecies did not need any interpretation. It's self-understood. The prophecies that took place during Churban Beis Hamikdash, after, in Golus, were not understood. And the Navi had to explain himself. And maybe he explained himself orally to them, but he did not put in writing the explanations in Sefer Zechariah for many of the prophecies. And that's why we really don't know what it means. And we shouldn't fool ourselves thinking what it means. You will find Sefarim that will tell you different ideas. I guess he means that you take it with a grain of salt if you really want to accept that to be the absolute truth. Okay, now there's just one Maimon Chazal because I want to do this because I want tomorrow to go further. So let me just put this on the screen to short Maimon Chazal. It's the last thing for these psukim that we're going to learn. Pasuk Hey and Vav. Short. I'm putting you to sleep, Michal. I have the ability to do that. That's one of my talents. I can put people to sleep very quickly. It's a gift. I should capitalize it and I can make money on it.
Monetize
my ability to put people to sleep. I actually once complained to someone. I complained to someone once, a very wise person, that my shiurim, I put people to sleep. So he said, it's a wonderful thing. People pay enormous amounts of money for medication, for drugs, to go to doctors, to be able to have a good night's sleep. If you can just talk to them, put them to sleep, you're doing a wonderful service. All right, let's see over here this Maim Chazal, Pasuk Hey and Vav. Avay Seichem, Ayeihem, Ba'anevim, Ba'halo'ilam Yichyu. Madua, Shoyveva, Ha'om Hazeh, Yerushalayim, Meshuva Nitzachas. Why have that these people, this is the Pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah, why have these people backslided? Why have they gone backwards in their service of Hashem? Why are they? Why have they refused to do teshuva? Amar Rav, teshuva nitzachas heshiva kineses Yisrael lenavi amar lohem navi liyisrael chizru b'shuva do teshuva haloi avay seichem shechotu heichon heim. Where are they? They're gone. They're all dead. Amar loy. Amuloi. So the people said back to Yirmiyah, the Chutz, they said back to Zechariah, only our forefathers died. What about the prophets? They also died. They also suffered. Unvi'eichem shaloichatu heichon heim. Dvar me'elu remuzim b'mash amar avoseichem ayeihem. Vanevim halo'olam yichyu. Okay, so that's the pshat and the pasuk over here is they respond. He's going over like the Radak and the Mitzudas. He's going back to the Radak and the Mitzudois, who basically gave this interpretation, who said, and we are the prophets, you're giving us Musar, that we're doing Averos, and we're going to suffer, and what about the prophets? They did not do Averos, and yet they suffered, so it goes to show that it doesn't pay. Crime pays. It doesn't pay to be good. At the end, everyone suffers the same thing. Omar Lohem, Chazru v'hoidu shehi, see, Gosam hapur onis shani be'lohem. I want you to confess.
Chizru.
Chizru. Omar, no, but here it says Omar Lohen. Omar Lohen. He said to them, he commanded them. This is an instruction. If it would say Chizru, then just alone, then you'll be right. But the fact that it says Omar Lohen, he said to them, I demand of you to acknowledge that your complaint is invalid. Chazru v'hoidu, shenemar Ach devarayich, and he went on to make demands. In the next pasuk, ach devarayich v'chukai asher tzivisi es avodai anevim, I demand that would you take back your harsh words. I demand. So here we have over here this conversation between Hashem, Zechariah, with the people. They had chutzpah. The chutzpah, they said it, and the response is, it's a lie. Your words are lies. And I demand that you retract. You take back your words, because you do know that the prophets did not suffer. They did not suffer. The people who did the averos, they suffered, but the prophets did not suffer. Now, what does that mean? Now we're going to repeat the whole shir. It means either one of two things, either in a chanami, they did not suffer, or it means, like we explained, is that their suffering was not the same. They got reward for their suffering, whereas your suffering was just punishment, and you get nothing out of it. There is no nutritious value in eating this. It's like, you know, you have foods. So some foods, what are you eating the food for? So for some people, if they're deficient in a certain type of vitamin, a certain type of mineral, so by eating this food, they're gaining nutrition. But a person that has too much of that mineral or nutrient, and he eats this food, he gets nothing out of it. It's just a burden for his body to process and metabolize the food. So the Nevi'im, when they suffered, they got benefit out of it. There was nutrition because they did not do averos, and thus they were able to take the nutrients from the suffering to elevate their neshamas to a much higher level. But you, who deserve to be punished, it's like you ate food that has no nutritional value. It's just a burden. It's just a burden. It's just gonna, you know, it was a punishment for you. You're not gaining anything out of it. Let's now go to the next Mam Chazal to finish the Bayim. That's it. Okay, that's it. That is the end of the Likutei Shas, the Malm, the Radak, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Mitzudos. We did almost every Mefarish on the page except for Rabbi Eliezer and Mibozhan C. Okay, we'll leave that. And we didn't do the end of the Radak. We did the other Radak, which we're not going to do. It's not necessary. Okay, so Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to think with Pasuk Zion. And we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to go through. I want to spend some time going through a little bit of the Musaf, some ideas relating to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zechroinos, Shefros, and other related themes. Be back in 1 minute.
Good morning. Good week. Good year. What's left of it.